If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right. Welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio today by Randy Engston.
You survived the floods.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
The Haboob.
Yeah.
So, guys, there's a anomaly, a weather anomaly that happens in two places in the world. One in Saudi Arabia and one in Arizona desert.
Mojave
Desert. And it's this giant cloud of dust, and they call it a Haboob. Look it up, Haboob.
It's wild.
And if you've ever seen, what's that movie?
Another one you're talking about. It's not Dune. It's Nick, you know this movie.
What's the movie where they, anyways?
Middle East, big cloud.
Big cloud, yeah.
It's like,
and the guy like turns into bumblebees and stuff.
The mummy.
Yeah, you see a really good depiction of what this thing. Anyways, it blasted the entire Phoenix Valley last night, and everybody's trees are blown over, and everybody's got like a layer of dust.
Yeah. Fun fact: the Mojave Desert's the only desert in the world with two monsoon seasons.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's your nugget for today.
Yeah. Nobody really cares. all right. Let's get into it, guys. We're going to run a quick series, a 7-part series. It's the 7 habits of winning gyms. This is something that I presented on at the Grow Summit. And we want to just kind of double down on it because these 7 habits, when you follow them, you become unstoppable. You go from like a losing gym to a winning gym. And there's not... It's funny because in this industry, gyms don't lose because the gym owners don't care, right? They almost care more than almost any other industry.
Mm-hmm.
They lose because they don't fall. They run their gyms on emotions, opinions.
My clients won't.
Yeah. Thoughts that are not based on fact or habits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had the unique opportunity of looking behind the curtain on so many gyms across the world, thousands. I've seen P&Ls. I've seen different models, whether it's a big box gym or an MMA studio or yoga or Pilates or boot camp or semi-private training gyms. There's these habits that the winning gyms follow that have been able to kind of distill down into a really, you know, a 7-part series for you guys. And this will be a really good, we haven't done a series in a while, which would be cool to kind of just add on to these things. And I guess the contract we'll make with you guys listening is as you listen to these habits, don't think about how you can't do this. I can't, my clients won't, not in my industry or not in my town, you know. Think about it from how can you implement these things?
Yep.
Because it's already proven, right? This is not just what I think. It's what I know. It's what I've seen. And so we'll just jump right into it. There's 7 habits. We're going to start with one per episode. And the first one is winning gyms master the main thing. Okay. What do I mean by that? If you were to look at any business or any gym, for instance, no matter what the model is, there's always going to be this Pareto principle of 80-20. 80% of the revenue comes from one thing.
Sure.
And whether or not that one thing covers all the bills or it doesn't cover all the bills, winning gyms master the main thing and they stick by that main thing. You were talking about a booty building gym,
yeah,
right? Like think about this for a second, guys. There's this gym. How many locations? 14 locations?
14 is what the article said. Yeah.
Now, and their main thing was we help women build their booties, right? Yep. And as weird and as awkward as that sounds.
And niche.
In niche, that's if you want your booty built, you go to this place, yeah. right? And whether or not being a fitness purist, you believe that developing the gluteus is the only thing you need to do in your body or not, this particular niche of people want that, right?
Correct, yeah.
And they would rather not do anything else but that. So all of the workouts are glute dominant, and yeah, there's some fat burning stuff going on in there, but like, you want to build your booty. It's this thing. So they've mastered the main thing.
Yes.
And unfortunately I see a lot of gyms not focus so much on making their product the best in class. They just worry more about how to market and sell it.
Well, in alignment with that is a lot of times they overlook what they do best in an attempt to serve everybody, right? Like I always use the analogy of the Cheesecake Factory of fitness. You know what I mean? The opposite of that is knowing what you're good at and doing and serving one group, one specificity, one thing that you do the best.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the old, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, right? Mm-hmm. You're all over the place. You're grasping at straws, trying to make the ancillary things take off, or shifting focus away from where the 80% is coming from. In trying to make these tiny little incremental gains everywhere else, when if you just put your focus on the main thing,
yeah,
that's where the value is.
That's where you should put the value. So winning gyms do this.
Correct.
They say, this is our thing. We're going to double, triple, quadruple down, make it best in class. Unfortunately, in this world of digital marketing and gurus and fitness business coaches and people are going to help you run a better business, most of everything they're teaching you is how to market, how to manipulate people into buying your thing, how to market, how to sell it. Buy our thing. It's a marketing play that gets people in the door, right? It's here's how you tap on the presentation sheet and circle a specific price point and say, this is what our best clients do. And you nod your head and you're playing with their NLP yeah. techniques and like, what about the thing you're delivering on? And it's just assumed that it's already the best it can be. And again, if we were to look back at your product, your main thing, is it as good as it could be? Could I not go into your gym and find 7 different ways to make it better? And you yourself could make better if you were to look at it. And it's so funny because we find all these other things to do, but make the thing that we do as good as possible. And I would believe if we were to look in internally and give it honest feedback, it's probably not even close to what it could be.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, how many gyms rely, and it's massive. I mean, going after the Grow Summit, like the data that we brought to it and things like that, like the majority of gyms are still referral based as a global, you know, position in the marketplace. Like most gyms are still relying on referrals as their number one lead source. If your product is the absolute best in class, you might be able to get by so long with that. But either way, you're going to have to start marketing, right? And I'm sure in some of these 7 habits, marketing is going to be one of them. But when it comes to the product that you're offering, right? The reason you need a hard like those different sales techniques, the reason you're going from agency to agency is because what you have and what you bring to the marketplace doesn't have enough
staying power.
Exactly, right? It's not or voice itself, you know? I mean, how many you can go to a town and you can ask 3 people what the best restaurant in town is. Can you ask the best, is your name come up when they ask what the best gym in town is, with the best, you know, deliverable and service and offering and, results option, that type of thing. If you're not in the top of that conversation, that's what you need to focus on first, right? You're always going to need marketing. You're always going to need to sell. But the main thing, to your point, the main thing has to be the main thing. Don't get caught up with the shiny balls and the distractions and the marketer that hits you up to sell the next thing.
Yeah.
Right. It build a really great service. And part of that exposure happens just organically.
It does. And hey, Tim Lyons here. And let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year?
Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser-focused on building a gym that prints, profit, and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Loves Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
You know, going back to the way people kind of operate their business, where their business isn't making enough money, they start to add things, services, profit centers, t-shirts, supplements, nutrition programs, stretch therapy, another like a boot camp for seniors, athletic training. And then you just, you're all over the board, like you said, the Cheesecake Factory, right? And then it gets diluted and you're not really good at any of them. And that's what I see the best gyms not do. Mm-hmm. They make sure their main thing is absolutely best in class. And then they'll add and optimize here and there. But typically it's, you know, for us, when we started looking at, you know, where all of our revenue was coming in, when we had 2 or 3 different types of services, it was like 90% coming from semi-private anyway. So we just made it, there's no point in focusing on boot camps or active adult, we called it foundations, or, you know, summer athlete training, because some of our clients had kids and we wanted to bring, instead of thinking about all those other things anymore, we cut them out. And what happened was all of our focus went into the one main thing that we did, and we just exponentially grew.
In alignment with that, though, because we do have others like stretch therapy, there's nutrition and things like that. But if you think about those things, they're supportive of the main thing. They're not a replacement or a different version of it, right?
Not and a that's, different version.
That's what we see a lot of gyms doing. You're doing some semi-private, or you're doing one-on-one training, or you're doing large group and you do a small group, or you do, you know, then you throw in the one-on-one. Or you're doing other trainings when training is your main thing, just to try to supplement the income for your main thing.
Yeah,
those things should supplement or should complement the main thing, right? If you're going to bring in additional services and profit centers, things like that, I would absolutely dial down on the main thing when you get that to a point where you're comfortable. Not again, comfortable is an interesting word to use, but like when the revenue's coming in for your main thing and you have the ability to take some risks or add some services, what complements that service? What are things that you can bring in that's going to make those clients continue to pay for your main thing, but then maybe they get some recovery, so they get some nutrition, they get some stretch therapy, those types of things, but it's not moving them out of the main thing.
Yeah, it's complementary.
Confusing them or...
It's a really good point, because when you look at digital marketing, for example, and you look at when you run people through a funnel and you have a main offer, and the main offer is like the, like your, let's just call it for us, for semi-private, that's your main offer, semi-private training. The upsells and the order bumps and the check downs and the things are always to get a better result from the main thing.
Exactly.
So for example, if we were to sell, again, this is a digital marketing like playbook. If you were to sell semi-private training, the add-on to that might be a nutrition plan. It might be a supplement. It might be a stretch therapy or recovery session or a protein shake or a like a guidebook.
Sure.
It's not another version of semi-private training. It's not like semi-private training is here, but then you also get a large group training session, and then you do like a one-on-one as a bonus, and then you get whatever.
Yeah.
We're doing barbell training over here, but that's like totally different than the main thing. So like my point to that message is when you have your main thing, double, triple down on it, make sure that you go through the motions of what a client gets in your service from the time they walk in the door to the time they leave, everything within that session, then and only then, if it's as good as it can be with your budget, your time, and the way you've got your gym set up, then and only then will you add to those service offerings, and only then complement the main thing by not adding a alternate to the training, but to a complement.
There you go.
One last thing I'll note here, when we're really talking about delivery system of the thing that you're doing, we see this happen all the time when it comes to the programming itself. This is what you're selling. This is your thing, your methodology, your blueprint of the way you do things, right? Either the gym owner, whoever started the operation, doesn't let that go. They just like, well, I'm doing the programming for the entire gym, for every member. I'm going to spend hours and hours, 6 to 10 hours a week, just customizing the programs. That's one version. Or the gym owner's like, hey, I'm too busy doing all the business stuff. You coaches do the programming for all the clients. And you program for your clients, and Coach B, you program for your clients, and who, you know, and then there is no methodology.
Yeah. Then the brand owns none of it. Yeah.
We believe both are wrong. We believe it should be brand controlled top down. I don't think it needs to be, it shouldn't be the owner of the gym, because that's not the best use of their time.
Correct.
There should be a methodology, a philosophy coming from top down. And when we get into the how to do particular movements, this is very important, because again, I was using kettlebell swings. You go to any gym in America and the kettlebell swing is taught 17 different ways, yeah. Right? And what is your way? Mm-hmm. What is your cueing? What is your, you know, the height of the kettlebell? Is it going to the over your head, or is it going to the top? Are you squatting with your knees, or is it hip hinging? It's like, you got to know, you have to own that methodology. And then either you purchase a strat, like a framework that the gym owns, like Semi-Private Pro, for example, or it's one of your main guys, GMs, and it's owned by the business, but it's controlled by one person, and it's not, shouldn't be the owner. I really don't believe that it should be the owner. We believe that's the way it should be.
Correct.
And then when, again, going deeper into this, what the main thing is, you need to take a hard look at your physical plant, like the physical area where people work out. Have you painted the walls in 6 months or 6 years?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Have you, I mean, you saw what I said today. I was walking in.
Yeah.
I go, we got to paint this wall. Yep. Right? It's a very, that I go right to it. Right. It's just cause I'm not in here every single day. So I see things that, you know, you walk past every day. And if you're here all the time, have you updated anything? Have you rebranded, or not even rebranded? Have you, look at your floors, guys. The floors are get beat up. The big box gym down the street just redid their floors, made a big deal about it.
Yeah.
You gotta do it, because it's the physical plant. Now, when it comes to, you know, being different than the market, that's when you bring in guys like Coco Black and have him redesign your entire place so that it is the best in class. Like, yeah. I believe for a training gym, at least in this area, we are best in class with that physical plant out there.
Sure.
Absolutely. Like nothing like it, yep. Right? You go into any gym in any town in America, you're going to see black rubber, yeah. Green turf, maybe with stripes, maybe with the logo on the wall. And we did the same thing for years. I never really knew that mm-hmm. there was a better way. And now that you're listening to this episode, you obviously know there's a better way. I've got some in the growth summit. I got some beautiful photos of physical plants that like don't look like a gym.
I think that would be good homework for you guys listening, right? If you're thinking about, all right, is my service, am I the best in class? You hit a couple of things there. Walk to the floor. Go look at the things you're probably walking past in your business, right? Go check the garbages. Are they full?
Yeah.
Go check, you know, is there towels laying around? Is the cleaning supplies still hanging around, visible, laying around? You know, the cleanliness, the music that's played, the color of the walls, all of that type of stuff matters massively when you want to be best in class. On top of that, then go hit the training floor. Go view, you know, your coaches throughout the day and watch the form, watch the cueing that they're doing, making sure that kettlebell swings are done uniformly across every single training session and every single coach. And if it's not, right there, that's your opportunity to right. make the change. That's the easiest way to start, right? Go visibly see what needs to be changed
yeah.
and implement those changes. This is your homework for the week based upon everything that we just discussed, right? If you put your time and attention on these things and you make the main thing the main thing, you're going to see change take place in your business in a positive way.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what winning gyms do. Habit number one, winning gyms master the main thing. Hopefully that helps you guys. We got six more to go. We'll rattle them off here in next episodes coming up. But that's it for this show. Hopefully that helps you. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.